Let's go to the book of Lamentations, if you would. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3. When I sat down, I felt my phone buzz and looked down and had an individual ask that I pray for him. I'm not sure if he wanted me to announce that, so I'm not going to. But I want to make it this way. I've got an unspoken prayer request. There's somebody that needs your prayer, so... Boy, I hope you'll do that. Remember that unspoken request, if you would, please. All right, Lamentations chapter 3. Just going to preach a real simple message tonight. If you'll just simply listen, I believe you'll get it, all right? And just a very simple thing. There's things that we as God's people need to do. And there's numerous places in the scripture where the Bible says, let us. I'm going to preach one of those tonight. Preached one of them last week, and I'm going to preach another one here tonight. Things we need to do, we ought to do. God's people ought to do it, all right? So this is one of those. Just one verse here in Lamentations. The Bible tells us there in Lamentations chapter 3, down in verse 40, the Bible says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, I want you to hold your place there, but I want you to go back to Psalms 139, the 139th Psalm, all right? Psalm 139. We want to kind of contrast these two verses, all right? Psalm 139. I remind you again what Lamentations 3:40 said. Let us search and try our ways. Let us search and try our ways. But if you notice in Psalm 139, look at verse 23. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, these are somewhat opposite in meaning, if you will. In Psalms, the psalmist is asking God to search and try. Lord, you take a look at me, all right? But in Lamentations, the emphasis is upon us doing our own search and our own trial of ourself. Not asking God to do it, but us doing. Now, I want to say this. I believe both of these are necessary. I believe we ought to do both of those. We ought to let the Lord search us and try us, examine us for sure. And it's good for us to be open and honest with God. It's good for us to desire Him, to examine our innermost being, what we really are. And it's good that we should want Him to look at our heart, look at our mind, so there might be nothing between us and that is wrong or wicked in any way. Let Him try us. But tonight I want to look at the other side. Just for a little bit, very simple message. I want us to step up to the plate ourselves and do the search. I want us to step up to the plate and try our ways, all right? Let us do it. It's real important, all right? Because, number one, our ways should please the Lord. Just plain and simple. Our ways should please the Lord. You know, I would hope that would be a given. I would hope nobody here and nobody that was saved, maybe you hear the message and say, oh, no, I don't think so. And I hope all of us would say, man, our ways ought to please the Lord. They ought to please God in what we do. Surely God's people would agree that our ways, our doings ought to please our God. You know, I'm pretty sure that even lost people think that's the way it ought to be. I believe they would say, well, yeah, you Christians, you ought to please God. I believe even a lost man would look at it like that. I mean, think about it. He saved us. No big thing, right? Sure, it's a big thing. Hey, He's forgiven our sin. And just think about that. All our sins been forgiven. And not only that, He placed us in His family. We got in the family of God. We got in the family of God. You had no control over the family you were physically born into. Nobody gave you a choice. Nobody, you know, said, what do you think? You want to be a Smith? You want to be a Jones? Said, no, I'd rather be a Rubinsky. All right, you know, I don't know. But you didn't get a choice. But the Lord, of his own accord, was willing to put us into his family. I want you to think about that. He's promised us an eternal home in heaven, a place of absolutely unbelievable beauty and rest that's there, and he's promised us that's reserved for you. Hey, while we're here, good thing about salvation, good thing about being a Christian, it's not just we'll wait till you die. No, we get in on it now. He's promised, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You don't have to worry about that. He's not going to do that, all right? And all of those things considered, surely, I mean, it's definitely not too much on our part to expect us to put forth the effort that we ought to, that our ways should please him. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. Hey, there's even a promise about it. Look back in Proverbs chapter 16. There's a promise that goes along with this business of pleasing the Lord. And I think it's a promise that most of us say, well, I'd like to get in on that deal, you know. I think that would be a good thing. All right, Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look what a promise we have here. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Look, now maybe you enjoy enemies. Maybe you enjoy having somebody to fight with. Maybe you want that situation. You know, I look at it this way. What a promise we have that if our ways please the Lord, even our enemies will be at peace with us. I would think even a man didn't really want to please the Lord might consider it from that standpoint, and that might just encourage him just a little bit to think, hey, maybe I ought to get in on that. If my ways would please the Lord, you know, I could have peace with my enemies. I want that. I'd like to have peace with the enemies. This verse says it's possible you can, but if your ways will please the Lord. It's important. Our ways should please the Lord. That makes it important that we take a look to see that our ways are acceptable to him. The second thing I want you to think about is this. It's so easy to get away from God. So easy to get away from him. I mean, that's the problem. It happens not because you say, well, I'm tired of being close to the Lord. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say anything remotely close to that. Never heard anybody say, well, I'm just tired of being close with the Lord, and I don't like that close relationship, so I'm going to put some distance between me and him. Now, we may do that with people, but man, I've never heard anybody say that about God. But it's so easy for us to get away from him. Why? Well, we got this old body of flesh. Here it is. We're tempted. We have temptations come our way. It happens, all right? It's going to happen. You say, well, I'm never going to be tempted. Good luck. Good luck with that one. Truth is, we're going to face temptation. Hey, the truth of the matter is there is a being. There is a being known as Satan, the devil, old smutty face, whatever, who has evil designs upon us, and he's going to do his best to get us messed up. He's going to do that. And boy, he's got a lot of people seem to be more than happy to help him. You know it? Just happy to get involved in that and get us away from him. It's so easy for that kind of thing to take place. And so here we are. We're in that situation. Do our ways please him? But we deal with that. Hey, the cares of life. We get caught up living life. And though those cares of life come up, and they come between us and pleasing God. They happen. They happen to us. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that I've met and talked with say, man, we used to go to church. And I said, where'd you go? And they named a good church, boy. Good, strong Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. That's where they went and said, yeah, man, I went there for years. Maybe I grew up in that church, you know, and all of those things were in it. But what happened? Well, you know, we get busy. We grow up maybe in church. You get grown, you get married, and you go to work. And just here it is. We just get busy and get going in life. And those cares of life kind of just drift us away from the Lord. It's the easiest thing, so easy to have happen to us. Sometimes it's overconfidence. We think, I got it. I've got this thing. I've got this life figured out. Now, I think oftentimes that happens to the young. More so than people's got a little bit of seasoning, shall we call it, all right? Got a little more of that on them. They realize, I don't got this. And I need all the help I can get. But boy, sometimes people think, nah, I've got it. I'm in good shape. And boy, and maybe it's prosperity. I'm amazed at how many people will serve the Lord as long as they're struggling. But then, man, God blesses them. They get a promotion. They get a real good job. Good money, making good money. And all these other things are coming in, and we can afford to take them weekend trips, you know, and we can afford to get the condo out there. Or, by the way, I'm not against any of those things except weekend trips. I think you ought to make weekday trips, all right? But, hey, we get in that position where prosperity comes along and it causes us to get careless. Just get careless in life. That overconfidence in life. And we're not really conscious of it. We're just, you know, drifting along through life, not planning to get away from God, but easily led away, easily led astray. I think oftentimes we wind up like Samson. Remember what happened to him there in Judges chapter 16? He had gone through that, the whole deal with Delilah and listening to her, and he finally unburdened himself and said, if you do this, you know, and you'll just cut my hair, it'll be it, that's it. She did it, and she said, Samson, the Philistines will be upon him. The Bible said he got up, but he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And I think we get in that situation now. It's not that God departs from us. It's us that depart from him. We drift off. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He meant it. But we don't realize it. We find out where we used to be is here. But man, all of a sudden, when I was thinking about it, here we are. And it's usually a slow process. It doesn't happen overnight. Just a very slow thing that happens and without any thought and, hey, without intentions of it happening. Hey, I never intended for it. We might hear some people say, well, it just happened. You plan on it. No, didn't plan on it. It just took place. It came upon me over time, slowly working on me. Hey, I tell you, let me just throw this in here without extra charge. A lot of times husbands and wives drift apart the same way. They drift apart the same way. Not that they had planned it, not that they intended to do it, not that they wanted to do it, but they let it happen. They let it happen. I was talking to a young guy, he's 53, 54, today's his birthday, and at lunch, kid that used to be in our school, graduated from our school years ago, and he's talking about he and his wife. He said, man, we got our schedules crossed up. He said, I realized I was seeing her one day a week. He said, it felt like we were dating. You know, he said, back in old dating days, you know. Hey, that can happen. And boy, when that happens, if you're not careful, you just drift away. You got to look out for that. You got to be careful. You don't let that happen to you. Hey, but don't let yourself get away from the Lord that same way. That it just happens, all right? It's so easy, so easy to get away from him. That's why regular examination, though, keeps us focused. Regular examination keeps us focused. Hey, now notice what the scripture said there in Lamentations. Let us search. Search. That means if you're searching, you're really looking. You're looking. If you've got kids, especially younger kids, and you tell them, hey, go find my keys, it's not serious with them unless they really want to go somewhere. You send them, go find my keys. Oh, okay. I didn't find them. Well, where'd you look? On the table. Where else? On the table. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying they didn't search. Okay? They didn't search. It wasn't important to them. They didn't really try. But the idea of a search is, hey, we're out there. We're looking. And in this case, when we're to look to see if there's a problem with our relationship with the Lord. To search that out, all right? Spend some time. Spend some time there. Look, if you will, beneath the surface, all right? Not just on top of the deal, not just what shows up easily, but really get down there, go in deep where you really live, not just what people see. You know what? You can come to church and get away from God. But people are looking at you and they're here. They're here. They're here. But let's be honest. How many of you have been in church before? I don't have to raise your hand. It'll make me feel bad. But you've been in church before, and you thought, all of a sudden it occurred to you, I don't have the faintest idea what that preacher's talking about. And not because what he's talking about is so deep. You're shooting over my head, no. Our mind just wandered off. We're thinking about whatever. What's coming up in the week? You know, how mad your spouse is going to be because you dented the car. I mean, you know, there, whatever it is, and you realize, I don't have the faintest idea what he's saying, what he's talking about. I got to focus back in. Some people listen to books being read. My son does that, what they call audio books, or used to do it. He'd do it driving, listen to books. My problem is listening to somebody read a book, my mind wanders off. It just wanders off. Years ago, I hurt my eye, and because this girl in basketball practice stuck her finger in it and scratched my cornea, and so I spent some time with a patch on that eye. Let me just say this to you, if you hadn't figured this out, when one eye moves, the other eye does too. Okay, you couldn't just stick a patch on it and say, well, I don't worry as long, I'm not going to move that eye. If you move the other one, that one moves. They're a matching pair. If your left one goes left, the right one goes left. If your left one goes right, the right one goes right. And every time that eye moved, man, it hurt. So I'm laying in the bed and I think, I got to do something. So I had this book on cassette and I punched it in, listened to it. It wasn't long. I realized, I wonder what they're talking about. Man, my mind just wandered off. Hey, that happens to us, all right? Hey, don't let that happen to it, all right? You spend some time searching this thing out. Go where you really live, all right? And notice what he said, try our ways. Now, this is not you asking God, hey, Lord, try it my way. That's not what it's saying, okay? What it's saying here is, do you to take a look. Not just maybe at what you do, but the way you do it. The way you do things. Man, I remember as a kid, I'd get in trouble for the way I said things. Man, my dad jumped out at me. I said, well, Dad, what did I say? He said, it's not what you said, it's the way you said it. I just had problems, you know. And, of course, now, it was all on that other person. Sometimes my wife gets after me about the way I say something to her, and I said, you took it wrong. Now, never mind that I might have said it wrong, but I prefer to think she took it wrong, all right? It's the way we do it, all right? Hey, can I say to you that it can be the same way with the ways of our living, the way we go about things. You know, sometimes we do the right thing, but we do it for the wrong reason. We do it for the wrong reason. I mentioned that, I think maybe this morning, we do it for the praise of man. We do it so that man might look on us and see, hey, the Bible here says, let's search, let's take a look, let's examine our ways. You ought to look at your ways, what you do, and the way you do it, all right? Could be, man, you're just operating for the wrong reason. Hey, I'm here, and I'm involved, but I've got an ulterior motive. I'm trying to attract maybe the attention of someone else. Or I'm trying to impress somebody else. Oh, said preacher, I'd never do that. Plenty of people do. Plenty of people do. And no, I mean, there they are. Just trying to impress somebody else. Man, look at, maybe we're doing it for the wrong reason. Maybe we're doing it in a hateful, spiteful, or just a little simply unkind way. We do things that way. Oh, doing the right thing, but just a little unkind. Maybe we get a little short, you know, and dealing with people. Now, I'm so glad that none of us would ever do any of this. Mostly I'm talking about people you know, right? Not you, all right? Hey, we need to look at ourselves. Maybe it's selfish. Maybe the way we do it is selfish, just considering only ourselves, and maybe how it's going to make me look. Just those things. The Bible said, little, I told you a simple message tonight. Simple message tonight. Here we are. How often do we come and take a look at ourselves? Examine our ways. And search and try out those ways and see what's going on. Just see what our relationship is with the Lord. How is it working? How close is it to Him? And is He pleased with it? Is He pleased with what's going on? Or have we let something else come along? We let, hey, maybe we got in a fuss with somebody else. And that little fuss, we let it fester. And maybe it happened because we wouldn't forgive. Or we wouldn't ask them to forgive us. Just simple little old things. You know, it's amazing how little a thing the devil can take and pry us away from God. It's a little old thing. Little thing doesn't mean it amount to nothing. But we let that little thing get in there. And it festers and we pick at it and we won't make it right. And we find ourselves away from God. The scripture here in Lamentations says, hey, let us search and try our ways. Let's take a look at them. Now I want to say this to you. We do what we purpose and plan to do. We do what we purpose and plan to do. I give you an example. I like to fish, but I seldom do. So why? Don't plan to do it. Brother Charles, don't ask me, and he's got a boat. No, it's just true. The matter is, it's me. I don't plan to go. I don't purpose. I don't make the plan to do it. I enjoy it. Do you like to do it? Oh, yeah. When's the last time you went? 2 or 3 years ago. Well, do you have a rod and reel? Got a bunch of them. Got a tackle box. I got all kinds of plastic worms. I've got them all kinds of crankbaits. Some of them, I don't even know what you call them, but I got them. They're there, you know. I know how to rig that worm so it won't catch on everything. But it doesn't matter because I don't go fishing. Got a fly rod. Learned to cast it. Never taken it to the water. Never have. Why? Just never planned to do it. You say, why are you bringing that up? Because we'll never take care of this unless we plan to do it. It'll never happen. If you sit and think, yeah, one of these days I'll do that. No, you won't. Oh, you won't. You got a plan to do it. There has to be that purpose. You won't take that self-examination unless you plan to do it. Well, when's a good time? Anytime. Anytime. I think a lot of times it's good when you're by yourself. But it's also real good when you get under conviction. When the Lord begins to work on you. And maybe you think, well, Lord, what's the problem? I don't know. Then you ought to take a look. You ought to take a look. You ought to take a look at your life. Say, I'm going to look at this thing. I'm going to examine myself. I'm going to see what's going on. I want to make that search. Hey, this is not something that I'm saying you ought to do. It's what we ought to do. Now, I don't mean we get together. Now, I really wouldn't do this. I don't mean we get together and say, what do you think I need to fix? No. But we need to take a look at our individual self. Sometimes we get focused on other people. We can always find the problem the other fellow has. Or at least what we think their problem is. You know, if you just do this, we can find theirs. But the situation is, what am I going to do about me? Am I going to search? Am I going to examine myself? If you search and you try and you find problems, don't let anything keep you from returning to the Lord. Notice what that verse says again. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, do you see that word again? The idea there somewhat is it's happened before. It's happened before. Turn again. It amazes me how many people, something happens, they get away from God. Oftentimes it's pride that they have that keeps them from coming back. Keeps them from coming back. I've said this a multitude of times. I think I'm going to say it again. We see somebody come back that's been gone for a while. Our attitude, we need to be careful about our attitude. Our attitude should not be, well, it's about time you showed up. Hey, our attitude really will be, hey, we sure are glad you're here. We sure are glad you're here. You said, oh, but preacher, I know what they've been doing, and I know, I don't care. We ought to be glad they're back. There ought to be a rejoice in our hearts to see people coming back to the Lord. Hey, you ever been away from, well, not that far, but you were headed that far. You were headed that far. Man, don't let that happen to us, all right? Turn again to Him. Don't say, well, I just messed up. I've done it so many times. Then turn again to the Lord. Turn again. Do it again. Get right again. So, well, I'm done. I don't care. The wise man is continually returning to the Lord. Wise man's continually returning to the Lord. The wise man doesn't say, well, I've done this many times. What's the use? I'll get away again. Hey, you folks that are married, now, don't answer out loud, especially if the answer is negative. Don't you like to kiss your spouse? Oh, I used to, but, you know, hey. I still enjoy kissing my wife. Man, you say, well, you're old. I don't care. Old people like to kiss, all right? Well, this old man does, all right? Yeah, it's still a good thing. I enjoy that, all right? I don't want it to be, well, we hadn't done it in a few days. Let's just forget it. No. I've been gone for 2 weeks and I survived. What a dumb attitude. But what a dumb attitude it is for a child of God to think, well, you know, I've done this before and I'll probably do it again. Yeah, but I'll tell you, that moment and that time when you're with Him, you're enjoying that close relationship with the Lord. I'll tell you, that's the ground you want to be. That's where you want to strive to stay. Just want to strive to stay there, under the shadow of His wing, if you will, that I might be so close to Him. Yeah, but I get away. Yeah, but I'm coming back. Hey, take a look at yourself. You search, you find problems, you realize, yeah, I've gotten away from it. Then turn again. Turn again to the Lord. Come back. Don't stay away. Well, what do people think? Who cares? Amen. Don't care. I want to be close to Him. I want to know that relationship. Well, let me say this. Don't miss the opportunity to get close to God. Don't allow life to pull you away from the Lord. Don't get so busy that you don't have time for God. Don't let that happen. Just don't let it happen. Hey, man, it ought to be, hey, let's take a look. Let's see if there's a problem. Let's see. And if there is, you find it, fix it. Fix it. Hey, sweetheart, we sure do have a high water bill. Yeah, I was out there looking the other day. It's bubbling up. I think the line's broke. Do what? I said, yeah, it's bubbling out there, but it ain't much. You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't say, well, just, let's wait until it's major. I mean, right now it's only bubbling up that much. And we'll put the ruler on it. When it's 2 inches, let's get it fixed. Now, ain't nobody sitting here would do that. Why do we let that happen with our relationship with the Lord and say, we're not that far away, so I'm going to wait? No, let's get back when it's easier to get back. Let's don't drift too far. Man, you find out you drifted, get back where you need to be. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Your relationship with the Lord, you say, well, it's up to God. No, it's up to you. The prodigal's dad was looking for him to come back. Prodigal's dad saw him coming and he ran to meet him. He didn't say, well, I'll stay here. It serves him right. He can come out. No, he ran to meet him. He ran to meet him. Hey, it's not God's fault we get away from God. It's our fault. Let's fix what's there. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Do you need to do it? Would you bow your heads this evening? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, how long has it been since you really took a look at your relationship to the Lord? That you really got there and you took a look at your relationship with the Lord. How long's that been? You say, well, it's okay. Are you sure? Have you looked? Have you searched? Have you tried your ways to see, hey, is this, am I doing this? Am I doing it the right way or am I doing it the wrong way? But I'm taking a look. How long since you've looked at yourself? Oh, don't let yourself get away. Don't let the world, the flesh, the devil, or anything else pull you away and keep you away from God. Hey, you take a look, see a problem, fix it. Fix it. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, truth of the matter is, it's so simple. But Lord, it's the simple things we oftentimes overlook. We don't fix the simple things. We wait until there's a huge problem and then try to fix it. Lord, would you help us tonight to just do what that scripture said? Let us search and try our ways. Lord, if necessary, help us to return to the Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves, honest with you. Do what we need to do tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.